Picture this scenario for a second. You're the IT director for a massive enterprise.
Always is a stressful job.
Oh, entirely. And an external audit is looming. Compliance deadlines are basically breathing down your neck, and you need to guarantee rock-solid email retention and, data protection.
Right, the standard enterprise nightmare.
Exactly. Usually, organizations in that pressure cooker, they just default to writing this massive eye-watering check to vendors like Microsoft or Google. It's just, well, it's accepted as the unavoidable cost of doing business, right?
Yeah, you just surrender the budget.
You surrender the budget, and honestly, you often surrender a huge degree of control over your own infrastructure. But today, we're going to explore why that assumption might be entirely wrong, because there's this incredibly powerful open source alternative out there.
And it's one that completely changes the dynamic.
It really does. For businesses facing strict legal and compliance requirements, I'm talking about mandatory financial record audits, stringent privacy laws, absolute data sovereignty, relying on a proprietary black box system isn't just expensive, it's a liability.
Because data sovereignty means if you don't control the servers, you don't truly control the data.
Exactly. And that is where SafeServer comes in. They help organizations find and implement these exact open source solutions to replace those wildly expensive proprietary tools.
Which is huge for compliance.
Right. They guide you from the initial consulting phase all the way to secure operation running right on German servers. You can find out more about how they do this at www.safeserver.ds. And, that focus on reclaiming control of your infrastructure perfectly sets up our mission for today's deep dive.
We are getting into the real nuts and bolts today.
We really are. We're pulling back the curtain on the invisible plumbing of the internet to look at something called Dovecot. It is, by all metrics, the world's leading secure IMAP server.
It really operates as this hidden digital backbone for a staggering amount of our daily communication. I mean, people interact with it constantly without ever knowing its name.
Yeah, and to make this concrete for you listening at home, the term IMP server sounds highly technical, but it's essentially just the digital post office. It holds your incoming messages until your phone or your laptop actually asks to read them.
That's a great way to visualize it.
Okay, let's unpack this. If your personal email app on your phone is your little mailbox at the end of your driveway, Dovecot is the massive, highly secure sorting facility downtown. It's the industrial-scale facility that handles the mail for the world's largest telecommunications companies, internet service providers, and hosters.
Which is a crucial distinction to make, because what makes the source material we're looking at today so compelling isn't just the basic fact that Dovecot moves a message from point A to point B.
Right, any basic software can do that.
Exactly. The fascination lies in how it manages that process with an almost obsessive level of efficiency and self-maintenance. When a global telecom uses software, it can't just function on a good day. It has to be virtually bulletproof under the weight of millions of concurrent users.
Right, which brings us to the engine under the hood.
Yeah.
Because the natural question is, out of all the options out there, why do these massive telecoms rely on Dovecot?
It comes down to performance.
Yeah, looking at the documentation, it's renowned for being among the absolute best performing IMAP servers available anywhere. But what actually drives that performance? The sources point heavily to the architecture, noting that 97.2% of the project's GitHub repository is written in a programming language called C.
That is a massive factor.
Now, for anyone who isn't a software engineer, why does the choice of programming language matter so much here?
Well, it matters immensely when you're dealing with scale. C is a language known for blazing speed because it operates incredibly close to the bare metal of the hardware.
Bare metal, meaning it talks directly to the computer chips without a translator.
Precisely. Modern languages often have heavy runtimes or garbage collectors. Those are background processes that occasionally pause the entire system to clean up computer memory.
Oh, so they literally stop traffic to sweep the street.
Oh, exactly. C doesn't do that. It allows the developers to manage the server's CPU and memory directly and ruthlessly. That means Dovecot can squeeze every last drop of performance out of the physical servers it runs on.
Wow. And the sources also mention it achieves this speed while supporting standard formats like mbox and mailDir. We should probably define those for a second.
Good idea.
From my understanding, these are just different ways a computer stores emails on a hard drive, right? Like mbox stores all your emails in one giant continuous text file, whereas mailDir stores every single email as its own separate little file in a folder.
That is correct. And both formats present unique bottlenecks when you're, say, searching for a specific message from 3 years ago.
Because the computer has to dig through all that text.
Right. So Dovecot handles this by transparently indexing those mailboxes. It builds a highly efficient hidden map of where everything is located within those files, ensuring that no matter which storage format an ISP uses, the retrieval of an email is instantaneous.
But wait, let me push back on this a little bit. If it's running so fast, written in this hyper-efficient C language, and it's building indexes for literally millions of users checking their phones every 5 minutes, wouldn't the system eventually just buckle under its own weight?
You would think so, yes.
I mean, indexes take up memory, right?
Right.
How does it organize all that rapidly accumulating data without just grinding to a halt over time?
What's fascinating here is how Dovecot's architecture anticipates that exact bottleneck. It uses what the documentation calls self-optimizing indexes.
Self-optimizing, meaning the software actively monitors and changes its own behavior based on the user's habits.
Exactly. It doesn't just store data blindly, and it certainly doesn't index every single piece of metadata in the exact same way for every user. It pays attention to the queries coming in. It curates exactly what the user's specific email client commonly needs, no more, no less.
Okay, so if my app always asks for unread messages first,
then Dovecot dynamically optimizes the index for those specific repeated queries. It trims the unnecessary data out of the active memory.
That is incredibly smart. It's almost like a librarian who notices you only ever check out classic sci-fi books. Instead of making you walk to the back of the building and search the massive master catalog every single time, they just start keeping the sci-fi index cards right at the front desk for you.
Yes. And if you suddenly start reading biographies, the librarian adjusts and moves the biography cards to the front desk instead.
Oh, wow.
That level of dynamic real-time optimization is what prevents the server's RAM from overflowing with useless data. It allows these massive server farms to run incredibly lean, saving telecommunications companies an absolute fortune in hardware costs.
So it's fast, it's lean, and it pays attention to how you use it.
Yeah.
But if a system is moving at 1,000,000 miles an hour and constantly rewriting its own indexes, what happens when something inevitably breaks?
Because things always break.
Right. Hardware fails. Power fluctuations happen. Here's where it gets really interesting. Typical enterprise software, when it encounters a corrupted file or a half-written database entry, usually just panics and crashes.
The dreaded blue screen of death, essentially.
Exactly. It throws a cryptic error code, shuts down the service to protect the remaining data, and some poor IT administrator gets woken up at 3 a.m. to manually fix it. But the documentation highlights that Dovecot is genuinely self-healing.
The self-healing architecture is arguably its most critical feature for enterprise deployment. Let's look at the mechanics of a failure. Say a physical storage drive stutters for a microsecond while writing an email, and an index file gets corrupted.
A tiny glitch.
Right. A typical IAM server reads that broken file, doesn't know what to do with the garbled data, and the whole application thread dies. Dovecot takes a completely different approach. It isolates the corruption.
Okay.
It recognizes that the index for that specific user is broken, but instead of crashing, it discards the broken index and automatically goes back to the raw source files, the mbox or maildir we mentioned earlier.
Wait, really? So it just reads the original emails and builds a brand new index from scratch, completely in the background?
Yes. It's rebuilding the map while the user is still trying to access their inbox. The user might experience a delay of a few milliseconds, but the service doesn't drop. They don't get an error message. The system heals itself on the fly.
It's like a mechanic fixing a car engine while it's still driving down the highway.
Yeah.
That is a massive paradigm shift from how most people experience software bugs.
It really is.
And while the user is totally oblivious that a catastrophic file corruption just occurred, the system is logging the issue.
Right. Oh, absolutely. It logs the issue with extreme clarity. It leaves a detailed, human-readable record of the exact storage glitch so the administrators can investigate the root physical cause later during normal business hours.
Not at 3 a.m.
Exactly. The developers of Dovecot have made this aggressively admin-friendly design a core philosophy. Common error messages are required to be easily understandable.
That's refreshing.
And furthermore, they consider any crash, no matter how obscure the circumstances or how bizarre the hardware failure, to be a critical bug in their code that must be fixed.
So they actually take ownership of the crash rather than just blaming the user's faulty hardware or a bad hard drive.
They view a crash as a failure of the software's resilience. An administrator's time is one of the most expensive assets in any IT department. By self-healing and providing clear, actionable logs instead of crashing, Dovecot shifts the IT team's role from being reactive firefighters dealing with outages to proactive managers analyzing logs the next morning.
I can totally see why an ISP would choose this over a proprietary black box where you can't even see the logs. But, you know, a fast, self-healing server sitting in a data center is entirely useless if it can't talk to the rest of the world.
Very true.
The internet is this chaotic environment filled with thousands of different apps, legacy devices, and competing protocols. The sources emphasize that Dovecot is strictly standards compliant. It apparently passes complex IMET compliancy tests that most other major servers outright fail.
The IMET protocol, which is the universal language that dictates how your phone asks the server to show your inbox, has very rigid rules. Dovecot adheres to those rules flawlessly.
Okay.
But an email ecosystem requires multiple protocols working together. While IMAP handles reading the mail, another protocol called SMTP handles sending the mail. Dovecot integrates seamlessly for SMTP authentication with the major mail transfer agents, the software that actually routes messages across the internet, like PostFix, EXIM, and OpenSMTPD.
Right. The documentation notes that PostFix version 2.3 and up and EXIM version 4.64 and up can authenticate directly against Dovecot.
Which is incredibly efficient.
Meaning, when you type in your password to send an email, the sending software just asks Dovecot, hey, is this password correct? Without needing a secondary complicated database of passwords.
Which eliminates a massive point of friction and a potential security vulnerability for system administrators trying to build a unified pipeline.
But reading through the sources, I stumbled on something that feels like, honestly, a glaring contradiction.
Oh.
Yeah. The documentation proudly touts this strict, perfect compliance with IMAP standards. But then in the very next section, it lists all these built-in quirks. It says Dovecot includes specific workarounds for bugs in various IMAP and POP3 clients, POP3 being an older way of downloading email.
Right, the legacy stuff.
So wait, it's a straight-A student that passes all the standardized tests perfectly, but it also actively breaks the rules to accommodate buggy email apps out in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
How do you reconcile being strictly standard while simultaneously running workarounds for bad software?
You're hitting on the fundamental genius of its design. It isn't a contradiction at all. It's a boundary layer.
A boundary layer.
Think of Dovecot's internal core engine as a pristine, perfectly standard environment. Its internal logic is flawless. But it recognizes that the outside world is messy.
Very messy.
Email clients, the apps developed by dozens of different companies for phones, tablets, and desktops, often have bugs. They send requests in slightly the wrong format, or they misinterpret a standard command.
Okay, so if Dovecot was totally rigid, it would look at that slightly malformed request from a user's phone and just say, syntax error, request denied.
Yes.
And the user would assume their email provider is broken, even though it's actually their phone app's fault.
Precisely the issue. So instead, Dovecot provides a flexible translation layer. It intercepts the buggy request from the outside world, recognizes the specific flaw based on those known quirks, quietly translates it into a perfect standard request for its internal engine, and serves the mail anyway.
That's brilliant.
The pristine core is protected, but the user gets their email. If we connect this to the bigger picture, what makes this truly admin-friendly is that these workarounds can sometimes make the protocol exchange slightly slower or suboptimal.
Oh, so you don't want them all on all the time.
Exactly. Administrators aren't forced to use them all. They can toggle on only the specific fixes they need for the specific devices their user base actually uses.
It's like having a high-end, perfectly organized Michelin-star kitchen, but building a special drive-through window on the side of the building for customers who don't know how to pronounce the menu items.
That's a perfect analogy.
The chef in the back gets the order perfectly formatted every time, and you keep the chaos outside the kitchen.
And that boundary between internal standards and external flexibility is why migrating millions of users to Dovecot is often seamless. When a massive company transitions from an old, clunky legacy server over to Dovecot, the end users don't have to update their apps or change their settings.
Because the server just dynamically adapts to whatever eccentricities their old email clients possess.
Exactly.
Which naturally leads us to the foundation that makes all of this translation and processing possible. We've talked about the speed, the self-healing, the flexibility. But if this software is actively translating buggy, unpredictable requests from the outside world, doesn't that make it incredibly vulnerable to hackers?
It's a valid concern.
How do we know it is secure enough to handle the world's most sensitive data? I mean, an enterprise email server holds the keys to the kingdom, password resets, financial statements, confidential legal correspondence.
Security is the paramount concern here, and the project's approach is incredibly rigorous. Dovecot was designed with a security-first mindset, and they actively utilize a YesWeHack program.
YesWeHack, that's a global bug bounty platform, right?
It is. Mm-hmm. They are actively inviting the global cybersecurity community, thousands of independent security researchers and ethical hackers, to try and break into the software.
Just open season on their own code.
Yeah, and they reward them financially for reporting those flaws so the developers can patch them immediately. It is a proactive adversarial defense model, rather than just hoping nobody finds a vulnerability.
And the architecture itself isn't just a rigid lockdown vault that you can't touch. The source material notes that it is highly extensible. Administrators can use plugins to add quotas, like limiting how much gigabyte space a specific department gets, or access control lists to lock down specific folders.
It's very customizable.
Yeah, they can even use Lua scripts to extend the server's functionality directly.
The Lua scripting capability is a massive advantage. Lua is a very lightweight, fast programming language. By embedding it into Dovecot, administrators can write custom, complex rules and behaviors without having to modify or recompile the core C code of the server.
So you don't break the main engine.
Right. They can tailor the server to highly specific organizational workflows without compromising the integrity or the speed of the main system.
Now, diving deeper into the technical architecture, the sources highlight a feature regarding clustered file systems. It specifically says, Dovecot allows mailboxes to be modified by multiple computers at the same time, and it works around known caching issues in network file systems, commonly called NFS.
This is a really technical but crucial point.
Yeah, I want to spend a minute here because this seems crucial for the scale we're talking about. Why is two computers modifying a mailbox at the same time a problem?
Well, when an enterprise scales up to millions of users, a single physical hard drive or server cannot hold all the data. You have clusters of application servers all pulling from a massive shared pool of network storage.
Okay.
The fundamental physics problem of networking is the race condition. Imagine server A and server B both receive a command at the exact same millisecond to mark a specific email as read. They both reach into the shared storage.
And if they both try to rewrite that tiny piece of data at the exact same moment, the data gets scrambled. You get corruption.
Exactly. To prevent that, systems use locks. Server A locks the file, makes the change, and unlocks it. The problem is that network file systems, NFS, are notorious for caching flaws.
Caching flaws?
Yeah, they try to speed things up by keeping a local memory of what the file looks like. Because of this caching, server B might look at its local cache, think the file is unlocked, and try to write to it while server A is still modifying the actual file.
Oh, that sounds like a disaster.
It creates a split-brain scenario. Dovecot recognized that relying on NFS's built-in locking mechanisms was a recipe for enterprise data corruption. So they engineered their own masterful, specialized locking protocols that coordinate these modifications across multiple machines simultaneously.
Completely bypassing the flaws in the underlying NFS.
Precisely.
So what does this all mean? When you step back and look at the project as a whole, the sheer scale of the open source community behind this engineering is staggering. We're looking at a GitHub repository with over 36,165 commits, meaning individual updates or improvements to the code.
That is a lot of refinement.
Yeah, there are 111 active contributors pushing this forward. They're releasing frequent major updates, like the recent version 2.4.2 release in October 2025. And it's all out there under open licenses like MIT and LGPL 2.1.
Which is huge for businesses.
Exactly. For an enterprise, those licenses mean you can use this software commercially, integrate it into your business, and modify it without paying massive royalties, provided you play by the rules of the open source community. You have over 100 independent developers constantly stress testing, tweaking, and auditing this code base.
And that commit history and those 111 developers are exactly why this is a viable alternative to Microsoft or Google.
Right.
Because it is extensible, because you can inject your own plugins and Lua scripts. Organizations aren't locked into a rigid framework dictated by a single vendor's profit margins.
They have control.
They aren't held hostage by a proprietary roadmap where features they rely on might just get deprecated next year. Mm-hmm. They can adapt the server as their security, compliance, and scaling needs evolve over the next decade.
It's an incredible ecosystem. So to summarize our deep dive today for you listening, Dovecot isn't just a piece of software that moves emails around. It's a lightning-fast, self-optimizing engine written in bare metal code.
It's a self-healing administrator's dream that prevents 3 a.m. outages.
It acts as a brilliant translation layer, bridging the gap between perfect internal standards and the messy reality of buggy internet apps. And it achieves massive, clustered scale while being maintained by a vibrant, relentless open source community.
It is a truly remarkable piece of engineering. And, you know, this raises an important question to leave you with.
I'd love to hear it.
When you consider that a completely open source tool refined by 111 independent contributors is robust enough to bypass fundamental networking flaws and act as the primary mail carrier for the world's largest telecommunications companies.
Yeah.
What other critical infrastructure in your daily life is quietly being held together by the collaborative power of open source communities rather than billion-dollar tech monopolies?
Oh, that is a fascinating thought to ponder. And it brings us right back full circle to why we started this conversation in the first place. When businesses, associations, or large organizations realize the sheer power and resilience of what we just talked about, the immediate next step is action.
You have to rethink your infrastructure.
Exactly. What do you actually gain by switching away from those expensive proprietary services to an open source solution like Dovecot?
Yeah.
You gain immense immediate cost savings. You gain unmatched technical flexibility to build the exact system you need.
And data sovereignty.
And most importantly, complete uncompromising data sovereignty. You control the hardware, you control the data, and the best part is you don't have to figure out how to implement it alone. Safe Server can be commissioned for consulting whether the right fit for your specific compliance needs is Dovecot or a comparable open source alternative.
They'll get it sorted.
They will get your infrastructure running securely and efficiently on trusted servers. So visit www.tysepper.achieveserver.com to take control of your data today.